Hi, good luck, Shavua Tov. This is Rabbi Eitan Tokayer from Brooklyn, New York. As we stand just 24 hours or less away from Yom Kippur, I'd like to review a very famous Maimer Chazal. And this is the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Dordia, in which Rabbi Elazar famously walks away from a very, very troubled pattern of Avera. And the Gemara concludes that he was so broken by the sense of realization of what he had done and what he needed to do. The Gemara says that he realized the responsibility was on him to change his ways. He niach rosho ben birkov. He put his head between his legs. The gab v'chiyat shiyasas anishmaso. And he cried the cry of eternity until his soul left him. Yatasa Baskol Vyamra, a Baskol, a heavenly voice came out and stated that Rabbi Elazar ben Dordia, Mezum l'chai olam haba, he is ready for olam haba. And the Gemara says, and this is the famous line which I want to focus on, Bacha Rebbe, Rebbe cried, he declared boldly and loudly for all to hear, Yesh kono olam haba kamashonim, v'yesh kono olam haba sha achas. Some people have to work a lifetime in order to get Olam Haba, and some people can acquire their Olam Haba in but a split second, in a moment. Rabbi concludes and says it's not enough that a Balei Tshuva are accepted by Hashem, and they are accepted generally, Ela Shekornos and Rabbi, but they even can have the great status of being called Rabbi. So the question becomes here, why exactly does Rabbi cry? Does Bacha Rabbi? Yes, he declared. Yes, he called out. Yes, he boldly stated. What's he crying over? What's the issue? And I think that one can understand this in light of the key word in the rendition of this Gemara. Yesh kona olamo b'sha'a achas. What does the word sha'a mean? Sha'a, al pi pshat, means a time, an hour, a minute, a moment in time. Some people acquire their olam haba in but a moment in time. So what's Rebbe crying about? Well, that's not the only way to understand the word Sha'a. Indeed, there are a panoply of Perushim that give different interpretations to the word Sha'a. And the best place to look at this, or a place to look at this, is in Sefer Shmos Perek Hei, when after Moshe Rabbeinu comes and pleads the case to Paro to let the people go, Paro turns around and says, I'm not going to let them go, and it's going to be worse for them. Ve'al yishu b'divrei sheker. Let them work hard so that they won't be yishu b'divrei sheker. What does that mean, yishu b'divrei? They won't be involved with divrei sheker. Yishu b'divrei sheker. So there are multiple meanings over here. The one, Rashi says, is that they shouldn't think, al yishu b'divrei sheker, that al yehagu, they shouldn't be preoccupied with this stupidity that they're going to go free. Alternatively, Rashi says, or along with that, yidabru tamid b'divrei sheker, that they're going to be speaking this futile language. In other words, don't think about going free. Don't talk about going free. The Rashbam on the Pasuk says that it means to listen. Al yishu b'divrei sheker means they shouldn't listen to it. They shouldn't acknowledge it. They shouldn't even be part of their thinking at all. And finally, and this is just a smattering of the Perushim, the Baal HaTurim says that it means to pray, to daven. So if the word Sha'a means any or all of these things, so what does it mean when Rebbe cries, Yesh kon olamo b'sha'a achas? Perhaps, just perhaps, Rebbe is incredulous. What is tshuva? Tshuva requires thinking, contemplation. That's what we do when we have charata. Tshuva requires talking, verbalization. That's what we do when we do vidui. Tshuva requires listening, being able to hear a different viewpoint, a different idea, in order that my mind should bend so that I should see the world differently and see myself differently so I can act and behave differently. That requires a very sensitive ear. And the Baal HaTurim says it's to pray, it's a daven. So, you know, a true, honest tefillah, one that has a real integrity to it, with echad b'peh, echad b'lev, not one in my words and one in my heart, but my lev and my peh should be echad, should be one. I should be a person of integrity when I daven. And so perhaps, just perhaps, Rebbe cries out, Yesh kon olam shavachas. You know, there are no liner notes in the Gemara. Perhaps he's crying out in credulity. It's like, I can't believe this. Tshuva requires thinking and talking and listening and contemplation and davening. And yesh kon olam shavachas. It's like it's almost lo yitachin. How does that happen? So that's one way to look at it. There is a second way to look at it, and that would follow the position of Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra says that Shah means weakened, and he has his rayas for it as well. They all have their rayas. And so Yesh Kon Olamo B'Shah Achas means that some people get their Olam Haba. Their tshuva is a consequence of a weakening of their impulses. Some people have an impulse for eating or for Lashon Hara or for inappropriate relations or for money. Or, you know, but at some point in life, just by virtue of age, you know, the body weakens and all these urges and impulses tend for many people to get weaker. So Rebbe cries and he says, Yesh kono olamo b'shah achas. Some people do tshuva. Some people, you know, work at it over a lifetime, but kama shanim. And some people, they just do tshuva because they just don't have the urge anymore. They don't have the desire anymore. And there's something to that, but like the Rambam says, it might be tshuva, but it's certainly not an ideal tshuva to do tshuva because you just don't have, you know, the desire anymore. All of these approaches ultimately assume that the word sha'a somehow is associated with an activity that demands some measure of investment of time. And I think that's the connection between sha'a, meaning a minute or a moment or time, and all of these experiences, thinking and talking and listening and davening, and all of that requires, or sham, which means weakening over the course of time. But I think there's one more that really explains it all. And that is that the word sha'a, if you go back to the first time the word sha'a is used in the Torah, Bereishis Perek Daled, Pasuk says that Kayin and Hevel brought a karban, Kayin brought a karban, Hevel's karban, Vayesha Hashem, Ve'el Kayin, Lo Sha'a. What does the word Sha'a mean here? Say the Mefarshim, it means turn. That Hashem turned, he acknowledged, he turned towards Hevel and his karban, but he didn't give Kayin time of day. Lo Sha'a. El Kayin, Omen Chaso, Lo Sha'a. He did not turn towards Kayin. So if the word sha'a means turn, now we can go back. Rebbe says, Yesh kon olamo b'kama shanim. Some people have to work years to do tshuva, but the truth of the matter is that tshuva is simple. Maybe not simple, but a tshuva can be easy. All it requires is sha'a achas. It's a turn of perspective. Just to be able to go in a certain trajectory. Once you're on the trajectory, that's your tshuva. Now, maybe it's not tshuva gemura, maybe it's not the highest tshuva. Maybe, like the Kotzker Rebbe says, you're not going to get the palace in Gan Eden, you'll get a ramshackle hut, but at least that's where you are. What this is telling us is that tshuva is accessible to every person, every Jew, to every individual who wants to better themselves and find spiritual depth, profundity, and refinement. And this is reflected. If you take a look in the Ezehu Mekoman that we say every day in davening, Ezehu Mekoman says, how was this karban given, and that karban given, and that karban given? If you take a look at the karbanos, so the Kodesh Kadoshim, their sprinkling of the blood on the paroches, inside the Kodesh Kadoshim, on the Mizbeach, depending on the karbanos, and a lot of the other karbanos have a sprinkling of the dam, but look at karban chatas. Karban Chatas is different than all the other karbanos. Karban Chatas, says the Mishnah, Ketzad Ala Bakevesh Ufana Lasove. What would the Kohen do? He would walk up the ramp of the Mizbeach, and he would turn on the outer rim of the Mizbeach and begin going to the corner of the Mizbeach to sprinkle the blood. And he would get to the southeastern corner. And then he would turn, and he would go to the northeastern corner, and then he would turn, and he would go to the northwestern corner, and then he would turn, and he would go to the southwestern corner. This is the only karban, the karban chatas, where it demands going and turning and going into every single corner to do the Azrika of the Dam, the Matan of the Dam. What does it mean? That it's all about the turn. Sha'achas means just to shift, just to turn, to move on a trajectory. And if we're able to move to that trajectory, then that can put us on a path of ultimate greatness. At the end of Yom Kippur, towards the end of Yom Kippur, Mincha, we read Yonah. And I think there's a reason that we read Sefer Yonah for a few psukim towards the end, after Hashem tells Yonah to go back and give Musar Tochacha to the people of Nineveh. So he does. And the people of Nineveh respond. It says, Vayaminu Anshei in Nineveh. Vayizak Vayomer Beninveh. It's going to be fasting for everyone. Everybody's wearing a sackcloth. People did tshuva. And the Pasuk says, they returned from their evil ways. And Yonah is just beside himself. How could it be? He says, I knew you were a softy, Hashem. It's just not fair. Now, what's the lashon here? Hashem saw Shavu midarkam, that they returned from their ways. What does that mean? These are awful, awful, terrible, disgusting, unethical, immoral, corrupt people. The Radak says, this is like the Dor HaMabul. This is like people of stone. Hamas, real corruption, real terrible behavior. And the Pasuk says, they fasted, and they did tshuva, and Hashem saw that they did tshuva. Did he come back 6 months later? Did he come back a year later? No, the Pasuk of Al Pi Pshat says, they fasted, they ripped their clothing, they did tshuva, and Hashem saw and accepted it. That's not tshuva. That's the beginning. Lashuv can mean to return, but kelashuv can also mean to turn. And I believe that that's what happened here. That's why Yonah is so upset. Vayar Elokim ki shavu midarkam. They turned away from their evil ways. It doesn't mean that they became tzaddikim. It just means that they made a shift. Yesh kona olamo b'shah achas. They made the shift. Shuva alai v'shuva aleichem. Shem says, you return to me and I'll return to you. Well, if you return to me, why do I have to return to you? We're in the same place. Because shuva doesn't necessarily mean going the distance. It means making the turn and starting on a new trajectory. And that is something which is entirely accessible to every man, woman, and child who so desires. Ezra Hashem, we should be zocha to be kona olamo b'sha achas. We should be able to make the turn. And then mamish, to be able to be kona olamo b'kamashanim, to live a life which is worthy the grand reward, the grand consequence of chaye olam, olam haba. Gudvach, gmar chasima tova to all.